It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, September 22nd. I'm Patricia Naft. The environmental group Wild Earth Guardians has brought a new lawsuit against the Department of Interior, and it could be a big impact for a coal mine in the North Fork Valley. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Earlier this summer, a judge ruled that the federal government didn't take climate change into account when approving the expansion of the Kalawayo mine near Craig, Colorado. The judge made the feds go back and consider carbon emissions. They did, and then gave the mine the okay to continue. This is Jeremy Nichols with Wild Earth Guardians.
You know, ostensibly, they gave that look. They looked at the environmental consequences. They went back. They fixed their mistakes. But it concerns us greatly that they had the gall to say that 10 million tons of added carbon dioxide into the atmosphere every year resulting from their decision was insignificant, and it didn't matter. But, you know, what it got us thinking about is, you know, this isn't about one mine or one coal lease. This is about an entire coal management program.
Their new lawsuit, which protests the expansions for four mines, including the Bowie No. 2 mine outside of Paonia, looks to change the entire way it's considered.
And this isn't just about shutting everything down and putting people out on the street. It's about coming up with a thoughtful but honest plan for addressing the climate consequences and the economic consequences of where the federal coal program needs to go. And where it needs to go is to a point where we're keeping coal on the ground. The federal coal program has to come to an end at some point.
Bowie No. 2 laid off 150 workers almost a year ago due to a declining market. Nichols says that the coal is on its way out in an already depressed market, and that the Department of the Interior needs to usher coal communities into something new. He says that he can understand why miners would be upset, why this lawsuit might even be seen as a personal assault.
Yeah, if I was in their shoes, I would be frustrated, and I would feel fear over the future of my job and the future of coal. But that's the reality that we're facing here, and I think like any problem, the sooner we can acknowledge it and come to terms with it, the sooner we can come up with the right solutions. And as I've said throughout this interview, those solutions need to ensure that people aren't left hanging. And people can say I'm disingenuous all they want, that's fine, but we are trying to focus on both ends here. As we wind down the coal program, people need to be taken care of. And we do see the Interior Department playing a leading role in helping to make that happen.
He's optimistic about the lawsuit, emboldened by the recent success, but says that even if they aren't successful, they'll be trying again. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Colorado's economy continues to do well, but its growth has slowed when compared to last year. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
Colorado's unemployment rate is 4.2%, according to the state's most recent jobs report. It's nearly a full percentage point below the national rate of 5.1%. Alexandra Hall is the state's chief economist.
The payroll jobs numbers that came out are relatively flat. You know, we're definitely seeing in the past few months that growth has slowed.
That holds true for Mesa County. At 4.5% unemployment, it's largely unchanged from last August. Other counties, though, are seeing some improvement. Montrose County's unemployment dropped a full percentage point in the last 12 months. It's now at 4.8%. Delta County lowered its by a half percentage point, but at 5.5%, it's still higher than neighboring counties. Hall points out these numbers aren't seasonally adjusted like the state average.
Keep in mind, you know, an unemployment rate under 6% is actually a sign of pretty healthy labor market conditions, but each area is different, of course.
Hall says people moving to the Western Slope for recreational opportunities and retirement is helping to fuel growth in the area. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
The trees are starting to turn and the morning's getting colder. Fall is here, and that means increased animal activity. As part of IC Change, KVNF's Jake Ryan had his own questions about something he saw.
A little while ago, Labor Day weekend, actually, I was driving between Glenwood Springs and Vail, towards Vail, and I saw a sign that said, caution, animal collisions were up 40% last year. What's going on?
Well, the animal collisions were up last year because of the migration and the weather patterns, mostly. Overall, the statewide, the numbers of animals being hit by cars have decreased in the last 5 or 6 years.
Peterson is the wildlife program manager for the Colorado Department of Transportation. He's right. Statewide, the number of animal vehicle collisions dropped by several hundred over the past few years. Still, there's a few spots, like the area around I-70 and Highway 9, where they're still seeing a lot of accidents.
The numbers that went up at the sign you saw, that's a localized herd crossing the highway, and they had a couple of bad hits last year, so those numbers went up in that area. But overall, statewide, they're going down.
Labor Day weekend is also a dangerous time of the year. Deer herds begin their migration from summering grounds to wintering territory. Deer take their migration cue from the amount of daylight and the temperature. There's the possibility that deer herds might change their migration time thanks to global warming.
But if it does stay warmer longer, it might postpone that migration for another couple of weeks or, you know, depending upon how dramatic that change is, it could possibly affect the timing of that migration.
The animal accidents are serious. Even if a vehicle only receives minor damage, the same can't be said for the animal. CDOT's been trying a few different things to prevent accidents, including large culverts and tunnels so an animal can cross territory without the danger of becoming roadkill.
Instead of pavement, it'll be covered with dirt and trees, uses cover, and it's going to be wide enough so the animals will feel comfortable using it.
He cites animal fencing and the underpasses as the main reasons as to why Colorado's seen a decline in animal collisions. He also points out driver education. One of the big goals for CDOT is a whole new type of road sign, signs for the 21st century.
You got the normal signs that everybody ignores. We're well aware of that. But we are trying to get some signs out there that will be triggered by an animal on the right-of-way or on the road itself that will alert drivers that there's something in front of them.
Peterson hopes that because of this new technology and improvements made to help animals cross the road, they'll be able to lower the accident rates even more. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The Colorado Supreme Court ruled Monday that the state's method for cutting funding for public schools is constitutional. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Voters passed a constitutional amendment more than a decade ago requiring annual increases in per-pupil funding for public school students. But during the recession, state lawmakers cut money from schools using another formula to reduce overall funding. The state Supreme Court ruled that that action was legal.
To me, this is the best unwelcome good news we could have gotten.
Democratic Senator Pat Stedman of Denver serves on the legislature's Joint Budget Committee. He's glad the case is settled, but says he wishes the legislature would be forced to put more money back into schools.
It would have been nice to be in a situation where we had somebody sort of backing us into a corner.
During the recession beginning in 2009, the state cut about $1 billion from K-12 schools. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.